then I will give a brief review about transaimon theory and also the corresponding Vasiliev conservation invariant, which is the perturbative quantization of transaimon theory. And by using this topological invariant, I give a definition of QD form, spin form, vertex amplitude. And then I will do the asymptotic analysis for the QD form, spin form amplitude, and then show that it relates to discrete general relativity with a cosmological constant in some certain asymptotic regime. So here, firstly, the motivation of this work. So what we are going to do is to look for a mathematical framework for loop quantum gravity dynamics, more precisely in the spin form formalism. And here, we want to study the relation between spin form quantum gravity in four dimensions and topological quantum field theory in three dimensions, more precisely the transaimon theory in three dimensions, and also the conformal field theory in two dimensions. And we are going to construct a finite QD form spin form model using this topological invariant from topological quantum field theory. And it turns out that this QD form spin form model reproduce discrete general relativity with cosmological constant in some certain asymptotic regime. And more precisely, it reproduce the Regi calculus with cosmological constant, but with flat force synthesis. Because we know that there are two possibilities for Regi calculus with cosmological constant. One is using flat force synthesis, another one is using constant curvature synthesis. So here, in the asymptotics, it reproduce the Regi calculus using flat force synthesis because of the choice of the asymptotic regime. So here, it is outline of this work that the vertex amplitude is construct, the four-dimensional spin form vertex amplitude is construct using transaimon theory in three dimensions. And the way to do it is that the vertex amplitude is related to the force simplex, and because the setting of spin form is starting from a simplicial complex. And this force simplex, so we construct this force simplex amplitude. But with this four simplex, the boundary of the four simplex is the three sphere. Then we define transaimon theory, this transaimon theory on three sphere, and or it is the double transaimon theory for subdual sector and anti-subdual sector because the gauge group is spin form. And these two transaimon theories are with two different coupling constants. And this coupling constant is related to some single parameter, which is our deformation parameter. And this beta here is the Weber image parameter. Yes, it is the heuristic deformation of the heuristic definition of vertex amplitude. Because this is one, it turns out this one gives the cosmological constant in the asymptotic regime. Yes. So here it's only just the construction of the amplitude by using topological invariant. So here we don't consider any simplicity constraints. It's kind of. No, and the thing is that here we are evaluating some spin network functions in the transaimon fast interval. And suppose we take limit that omega goes to zero, then the equation of motion, and then this path integral only concentrate on the equation of motion of transaimon theory, which is just the flat connection. And then this projective spin network function evaluated on flat connection is just the usual EPRL spin form amplitude. So here, that's why I say that this is the deformation of usual spin form amplitude.
What is the meaning of A plus
and A minus? A plus, oh, sorry. And A plus minus is just the projective spin network function. It's a function on connections on three spheres. What? And what is it? It's a chance, I mean, the variable of transaimon theory. In terms of LQG, and this is not LQG variable. It's a way to define vertex amplitude. I mean, because like in usual spin form, we need to take A goes to flat connection, right? And suppose we don't, there's no transimons,
so here,
and
here,
we should
here,
take.
So at this stage, there's no relation to physics whatsoever. We just, this is
a yeah, so,
don't
so far.
You have any motivation for, yeah. For example, when you have a transimon theory on the bulk, you can always see that on the boundary. Mm-hmm.
I mean, relates to this, you mean?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't have any evidence. So this is the way to make the deformation of the four simplex amplitude, vertex amplitude, this guy. And it gives, I mean, it relates to the Vasiliev invariant.
You were asking about this space. Apparently, you are written in this psi gamma. Is psi gamma the
there was a question.
I mean, this is not loop quantum gravity. It's not loop quantum gravity variables. No, that's different. It's different. And it's this A plus A minus is not loop quantum gravity connection. It's just a trick to deform the vertex amplitude. And loop quantum gravity connection is, or here is not in the connection representation. Here is in spin network representation. And this spin network functions depend on SU2 spin network labels, J and I, spins and entwiners. Maybe we
just with, yeah, you're just looking at some mathematical deformation.
Yes, exactly.
Of
yes.
Apparently, at this stage, totally unmotivated,
just because motivated just by yeah, yeah. No, it's not. Here it's only mathematical construction at this level. But you know, we can look at more precisely later. Here is just an outline. And here, this guy is can be considered motivated by Li in the early papers. That time they called this kind of Kodama state. And this observable in this transimon path integral, it's a projected spin network function on some graph gamma embedded into three sphere, which is the boundary of the four simplex. And rigorously, this vertex amplitude is defined by using Vasiliev concept invariant, and also motivated by the early paper of Rohan and Kirill early time. And then for the asymptotic problem, we are looking for the asymptotic regime that the physical area of the four simplex is much, much larger than the Planck area and much, much smaller than the Planck cosmological scale. So under this asymptotic regime, we can show that this four simplex amplitude gives the exponential of Regi action with a cosmological constant term. And here, this is the volume of the four simplex. This is the usual Regi action without cosmological constant. And this is the volume for the four simplex, but it is the volume for flat four simplex. And that's why I say it reproduces the Regi calculus using flat four simplices. And the asymptotic analysis can also be generalized to simplicial manifolds with arbitrary many four simplices. So, okay. And here, there are two remarks that here what we are defining is some QD form, spin form, formalism of loop quantum gravity dynamics. It defines a family of transition amplitudes and for all possible two complexes, and they are all finite amplitudes because there is always a cutoff on spins. And in the end, there's only finite number of spins sum. And also, this QD form, spin form amplitude is a mathematical well-defined object without any infinity and relates general relativity in the semi-classical limit. So this is just some remarks. And then let's come to the review of transimon theory. And this Chern-Simon theory is the topological quantum field theory on three manifolds and defined from this classical Chern-Simon's action. And A here is the usual G connection. G is a compact Lie group. And this K is the Chern-Simon's level or Chern-Simon's coupling, which is an integer. And with this Chern-Simon's action, we can write heuristically this Chern-Simon's path integral. And this Chern-Simon's path integral is a way to evaluate links. So this is, suppose this is a link and with two loops, and or it is a framed link. And so we put in some representation labels on these loops, R1 and R2. They are representations of SUN. And the evaluation of this link is given by put in Wilson loops corresponding to the link into this Chern-Simon's path integral. And after some regularization or renormalization of this path integral, we get well-defined evaluation of links. And it turns out that this evaluation gives Jones polynomial of link invariant. And because we can get these skin relations from this evaluation, and it is some generalized Jones polynomial or Hopi polynomial. This skin relation. And this skin relation is a recursion relation describing how you make the crossing. So there are two, the relation between these two crossings. That's the way to unknot some links. And also, you can compute the evaluation of a trivial loop. It gives these quantum dimensions. And this Q here is the deformation parameter. It relates to the N, which is SUN, because we start from SUN Chern-Simon theory. And K here is the Chern-Simon's coupling constant. So here, let's look at this link again. This is the link embedded into three manifold. And we can make a foliation of the three manifold using Riemann surfaces. So we make the foliations, and the Riemann surfaces cut this link. Suppose there are two Riemann surfaces and cut this link. And so there are this Riemann surface, and between these two Riemann surfaces, there are four Wilson lines from this link. And we can compute the correlation function with these four Wilson lines using Chern-Simon theory. And because this Riemann surface, we write sigma t with the parameter t, and the other one is sigma 0. Then we can make the time derivative with respect to this correlation function of Wilson lines. And we get the so-called Knitnik-Zamolodchikov equation. This is the famous Knitnik-Zamolodchikov equation. And this is the equation of motion for correlation functions of Wilson lines. And this that here are complex coordinates on Riemann surface. And here, this omega ij is a tensor product of Lie algebra generators. And it's called infinitesimal braiding. So more precisely, more explicitly, it's given by this. And it gives, like, suppose there are n Wilson lines, then it gives n factor of tensor product. But there are two insertions of Lie algebra generators with some certain representations. And then we should sum over all the Lie algebra generators. It's summing over K here. And we can use a diagram to represent this infinitesimal braiding, which is this core diagram. So this identity, the factor of identity, is just represented by using straight ribbon lines. And this is nothing but the Wilson lines here. And there are two insertions here, so we and summing over k in the insertion I and insertion j, then we draw a dashed line connecting these two ribbon lines I and j. So that's the core diagram representation for this infinitesimal braiding. And it turns out that we all the following constructions, and including Vasiliev invariant and also the spinform vertex amplitude, are coming from the solution of this Knitnik-Zamolodchikov equation. So this equation play a fundamental role in our construction. And on the other hand, these kinetic sum logic of equations come from naturally two-dimensional conformal field theory. And more precisely, this Westumno-Witten model. And this Westumno-Witten model is a string theory with target space, which is a group, compact group manifold. And we can quantize this Westumno-Witten model. And the operator algebra from Westumno-Witten model is given by this Kass-Moody algebra. And this JM of A is the generator for this infinite dimensional Lie algebra, which is Kass-Moody algebra. And this Kass-Moody algebra is extended from some classical Lie algebra. And suppose there are infinite power of generators, but suppose we take M and N goes to zero, then this Kass-Moody algebra just goes back to the usual Lie algebra. And these generators for this Kass-Moody algebra is coming from chiral current. This is the conformal field from this Westumno-Witten model. And we can make the Laurent expansion of this chiral current, and we get the coefficients are just these Kass-Moody generators. And this Westumno-Witten model is the conformal field theory on two dimensions with some central charge. Here, K is again the Chern-Simons level. And it is well known that there is a duality between Westumno-Witten model and Chern-Simons theory. And to look for the Hilbert space of Westumno-Witten model, we are studying the unitary representation of this Kass-Moody algebra. And it turns out that there are, so this Hilbert space is constructed just like harmonic oscillators. You have ground states, and just you're using this Lie algebra, this Kass-Moody generators to excite, to make excitations on the ground states. And the ground states here are called primary states, or primary fields, or Kass-Moody primary fields. And there are only finite number of primary fields in Westumno-Witten theory. And by using the generators, these Kass-Moody generators, we can excite from primary states the descendants. And the descendants are excitations by using these Lie algebra generators. And we have primary fields, and we also have descendant fields, and then we get so-called Kass-Moody families. And because there are only finite number of primary fields, so in the end, we only get finite number of Kass-Moody families. And in the special case, let's suppose we're starting from SU2, the algebra, and to define Kass-Moody algebra from SU2, the algebra. And the Kass-Moody families are labeled by spins of SU2. So there are only finite number of Kass-Moody families, means that there are only finite number of spins available in the construction. So this is a quantum field theory argument to say that in the end, our spinform model or the construction, there are only finite spins we can sum together. And that's also a quantum field theory proof that finally we will get a finite spinform amplitude. And so we have primary fields. We can compute the correlation function of primary fields. And these primary fields satisfy a constraint equation, which is nothing but this Knitting sum logic of equations. So which means our following construction can also be understood as computing the correlation functions in this Westumno-Witten model. Okay, so then let's look at, again, this Knitting sum logic of equation. This is the most general way to present this equation by using this core diagram. We have seen this diagram before. And this way to represent this equation is the way we want to represent this equation in a way that doesn't depend on the choice of the algebra, and also doesn't depend on the choice of the representation of the algebra. So we just put in an abstract core diagram in this equation to represent the equation using diagrams. And we can easily see that this equation is nothing but a parallel transportation equation and with some certain connections. And this connection is called Knishnik sum logical connection. And we can compute the curvature with respect to this connection. And we can show that this connection just a flat connection. The curvature vanishes. The connection is flat. And because this equation is a parallel transportation equation with this connection, then the solution of this equation is just nothing but some holonomy from this connection. And then this holonomy is just given by this Concepci integral. And this Concepci integral is a power series of core diagrams. So here it's power series with respect to the coupling constant of Chern-Simons. And here D, here is the core diagram. So it's constructed in the following way. So here this is the knot embedded into three manifolds. And then we just make a foliation of three manifolds by using Riemann surfaces. And this, see again? Gamma is this knot. It's this knot. And P is the point. P is the point. And this is the point. And I'm going to say this. And the slicing of by using Riemann surface, cutting this knot into two points, a pair of points. And we just connect the pair of points by using dashed lines, by using chord. Related to what?
Related to KZ equation.
Okay, Knishnik sum logical equation. So this is just the holonomy. You can see that this is come from this connection. So this dz, and that, and that's it. And here it's just the chord, and this is the way. This is just this chord. And because it's iterative integral, you're computing holonomies in this way.
Yeah, but it's not switched, right?
Why not? Why not?
I mean,
in case of Wilson line, yeah.
How is it related to coordinates? It's integral. It's not.
No, it's not integral. It's integrate. I mean, the differentiate with respect to t, time variable.
Okay.
So all right. So this is the way to write down a power series of core diagram, Concepci integral. And so we always, because these are evaluation using Wilson lines. So everything before, the story before was Wilson lines. So in the end, we should take some coincidence limit at this maximal point and minimum point to get the knot. And then under this coincidence limit, this integral just the divergence to all the order. And then we should always make some regularization scheme or renormalization scheme to make the integral finite. And in the end, it gives the perturbative Vasiliev Concepci invariant after the regularization. OK, so this definition of Vasiliev Concepci invariant is an analytic definition. So here we give some simpler definition, which is a combinatorial definition of Vasiliev Concepci invariant, but it is equivalent. It can be proved that it is equivalent to the previous one. Also, we're going to generalize the definition to the case, the previous definition only for links and knots. So here we generalize this definition to trivalent vertex, and it's also equivalent to the analytic definition. It is shown in this paper. Okay. So here, the definition, first of all, we define what is a core diagram supported on a trivalent graph. So this is, suppose this is the trivalent graph. This is trivalent vertices. And these are chords. So we only have two kinds of vertices for the chords, that there is a univalent vertex of chords. This is univalent vertices of chords. And there is trivalent vertex of quartz. So we only have these two possible quartz vertices. And we require that all the univalent quartz are univalent vertices are attached to the trivalent graph. So these quartz are always attached to the graph. So that's the only requirement for the quartz diagram. And these quartz diagrams are essentially the perturbative Feynman diagrams of Chern-Simon theory. And also, we defined a linear space of quartz diagrams by just the C linear span of all the quartz diagrams supported on a graph gamma, trivalent graph gamma embedded in the three manifold, but subject to the following relations. And they are, these relations are actually very easy to understand. We just imagine this trivalent vertex with some structure constant of the algebra. And this univalent vertex is some the algebra generators. And also this trivalent vertex of the graph is some intertwiner. Intertwiner is some invariant tensor in the tensor representation of some Lie algebra or Lie group. And then this relation just says the commutation relations of classical Lie algebra. And this just the Jacobi identity of Lie algebra. And this says that the indices of structure constant is antisymmetric. And this just says that the vertex is intertwined. So this is the way to understand those relations. And to construct the Vasiliev conceptual invariant, we only need three kinds of building blocks. And first of all, there's the braiding. This braiding is defined, so all these building blocks are power series of quartz diagrams. And for braiding, it's power series of quartz diagrams with two ribbon lines. And it's given by exponential of I h over 2. H is the Chern-Simons coupling constant, and with this infinitesimal braiding. That's why we call this the infinitesimal braiding, because braiding is just exponential of this guy. And also there's n naught, and it's also a power series in Chern-Simons coupling constant of quartz diagrams, and it's supported on a single ribbon line. And also there's associator. It's supported on three ribbon lines. It's also a power series of quartz diagrams.
I mean, there is some like quartz diagram, right?
Yes.
And why do you have such like minus or rather positive?
I mean, so these building blocks are defined in the linear space of quartz diagrams, right? And so this is just a power series of quartz, okay. Formal power series of quartz diagrams.
Okay, so you have a so infinitely many quartz diagrams.
Yeah.
And is it H or K?
H.
H. What's the relation between H and
K? H is 2 pi over K.
2 pi over K, K plus N or K?
K plus N. OK, so now we are ready to define this Vasiliev conceptual invariant for trivalent vertex, trivalent graph. So this Vasiliev conceptual invariant is a map from space of trivalent graph embedded into three sphere to power series of quartz diagrams. And it's constructed by using the following rules. So first of all, for the crossings, because here this trivalent vertex is embedded into three sphere, but to make Vasiliev conceptual invariant, we need to project this graph onto two-dimensional sphere, two-dimensional surface, and then there are some crossings. There may be some crossings in the final diagram. So for each crossing, there are two types of crossings. So for this crossing, the evaluation gives this R matrix braiding, and for the other one gives inverse of R matrix. And for the maximum point, and gives N naught, the inverse of N naught, and the minimum is just identity. And for associator, and suppose we have a three ribbon lines, there's a line in the middle traveling from the neighborhood of left to the neighborhood of right, then the evaluation of this graph gives associator. Otherwise, gives the inverse of associator. And also, there are two types of vertices, and there's this lambda type vertex, and there's a y type vertex. For y type vertex, it just evaluates as identity. But for lambda type vertex, it gives this A building block. And these A building blocks are constructed purely using associator.
What's a
D-hat program? They had, I'm suppose you have a diagram, and then you make several blocks of the diagram,
oh,
and you have this.
What do you mean diagram? I mean, in which diagram?
Suppose you have a trivalent diagram embedded into three spheres, three manifolds, and then in this diagram there may be some crossing, and you have this diagram you project onto two surfaces. And then on the final diagram, you maybe have some crossing, and you have a maximal point, critical point.
Okay.
And you have these kind of things. And you have vertex.
Okay, so given a knot, so you just map to some, like the linear space of four diagrams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the resulting things, these are just the power series of four diagrams.
Okay, well, what's new? Could you remember what's new? Okay. New trace of
five. Yeah. Trace of what?
Five.
Five. What is?
5 years.
Trace of five.
Why?
No, it's not.
It's
S of A. It's
trace of five.
It's also a trace of.
Okay.
I see. Yes. Right. Right, because it's this kind of.
Would you mention all these things? We did that this video.
Yes, I know. I mean, this is.
Yeah, so you.
But I mean.
You mentioned how, yeah.
I mentioned in the first slide. Okay, so then the way to construct. So this is the building. This is the rule to construct Vasiliev conceptual invariant. After this evaluation, we got a power series of core diagrams for some graph. And then this invariant, it turns out that this invariant is isotopy invariant of the embedding of this trivalent graph to three sphere. And this isotopy invariant means that you can freely deform this graph and also rotate the graph, change the critical points of the graph. And the result doesn't change. And it somehow relates to the diffeomorphism invariant on the boundary of the forcing plaque on the spatial slice of Lucquan gravity. But it's a diffeomorphism invariant for the diffeomorphism connecting to the identity. And also, this is the diffeomorphism for ribbon graphs, not for simple one-dimensional graph. OK, but that's a side remark. So what's the gamma?
I mean, Z hat, okay.
The definition of that of gamma, it is the Vasiliev. It's defined to be a Vasiliev conceptual line.
Okay. So you have like any new, the first definition of Vasiliev conceptual just something that the expression is written in iterated literature.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a power series.
Yeah, you have to prove it. That's the purpose of the paper I wrote in 1995.
Proof, but that you,
yeah,
what you did
that
is
the Trans-Simon segregation of the graph, which is the one you did here, is related to Monsevich segregation. So, you know.
You mean your paper
in 1995, there was activity. There was this different definition, but, you know, there was all this activity. It just continued up for a while to show that, in fact, they are reading the same.
So this, you what you did is for the knots, for the links.
Yeah.
For the links.
For the
and
so for the graph there's no messier.
Yeah, this paper did that.
This paper.
It's in 2008.
For the graph.
Yeah, for the graph, for the three values.
So it's not an easy.
No, it's not. I mean, as I just said, this is just
the
way.
This is the result of a lot of work.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I just said this is just a simple way to present this definition, but you need to show that, one can show that this definition is equivalent to the previous analytic definition. And it's basically shown in this paper. And actually, also, there's a remark that you won't, there is some ambiguities in this definition. You can have, for the perturbative one, you can have a family of resulting Vasiliev conservative invariants. So it's also shown in this paper that, so at, because the first in 98, by 97, by these two guys first defined this invariant for trivalent graph. So they make a certain choice of this, the building block for the vertices. And they call it MO invariant. But then she shows that you won't have a single choice. You have a family of choice to have this invariant.
Where is they are
parametrized by the power of this A. And there is A block, and there's also B block. And it's also a parametrized power of A and B blocks. So, but a, both A and B, they are just constructed by using single, just
yeah,
the only
for symmetry, so you put A minus 1/2, because here you put a definition which is very non-symmetric.
Yeah. This is the somehow simplest one.
For time reversal environments.
Yeah, but because the concern is that, I mean, perturbative, it makes sense to have, suppose, A 1/2 minus
yeah,
1/2. Perturbative, it makes sense. But here, I mean, in the end, to show that it is finite, it's finite, I mean, because I'm not so sure that, I mean, we evaluate the things using weight system, and if I put 1/2 here, and I mean the perturbative series converges or not. I'm not so sure, but here I put if it's just the inverse one, because this is just given
well,
by.
If A converges, square root of A converges.
Well, you're not sure that this.
Same radius of convergence.
But I think I mean there are possible branch cuts and.
No, but the radius,
I mean, this is something, some operators.
Yeah, but same radius of convergence. The branch cut, you know, will be happening after the radius of convergence. Power series or its square root of the same radius of convergence.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we can talk about it later. Okay. But, well, I mean, this is one of the possible choices. Find this. All right. By the way, you
so my question is, so in the here, right, I mean, part of the series, so each, I mean, at each level, you have a cave, what's your conservation variant, right?
In each level, I have
it's not like that, H to the K, then at each function, there is a invariant of the
each level, the power series, the whole thing. Yeah, you need the whole thing. It's a perturbative invariant, so each order is
each order is
invariant up to higher order.
Up to higher. And Z of gamma equals everything.
This is all everything. It's a full power series. Okay, so all the previous one is just abstract power series of four diagrams. And so here, because we need to define spin form amplitude, and it's dependent on spins, and also dependent on choice of the algebra. And we should evaluate the core diagram using some Lie algebra and some representations. And the way to evaluate is given by this Feynman rules. And just like we have seen before, that for univalent vertex, it gives it corresponding to the algebra generators with respect to some representations. And on the other orientation of the ribbon graph, it gives a minor sign of the D-algebra generator. And for the trivalent vertex of quartz, and it's evaluated by using structure constant of the algebra. And for just a single quartz, it's given by this quadratic form. And this quadratic form is related to the quadratic Casimir of the algebra. And also for three-valent vertex in the graph, it associates with intertwiner of the algebra. And then we have the Vasiliev conceptual invariant, which is the power series of core diagrams. And what we are going to do is that to evaluate by using the algebra representations order by order to these core diagrams. And in the end, summing together, it somehow relates to the quantum group invariant. Omega G is the evaluation map. It's evaluation with.
Sub-n.
So I mean, we evaluate order by order.
Okay. So omega g, I mean dot z hat is equal to what?
It's equals to summing over n and omega g evaluating z hat of n times h to the power n. Okay, then we come to the Q-deformed spinfold amplitude. And as I said, heuristically, this vertex amplitude is defined by using Chern-Simon theory, evaluating this projective spin network function on the three sphere. And three sphere is the boundary of the forcing flex. And this Chern-Simon theory, it's Chern-Simon theory on, for spinfold group. And there are two different coupling constants corresponding to self-dual sector and anti-self-dual sector. And this coupling constant is related to a single parameter. This parameter is a deformation parameter and supposed to be relating to the cosmological constant by lambda times LP squared. And this projective spin network function is defined on some arbitrary graph embedded in three sphere. And it's determined uniquely by using SU2 spin network function and with some spins and some intertwiners. And to define this projective spin network function, we need this EPRL map. And it maps from SU2 spin to spin 4 spin and relates to the previous SU2 spin by this factor. And beta here is, again, Barbero image parameter. And for intertwiners, we can construct unique spin 4 intertwiner from SU2 intertwiner by the following way. So we have SU2 intertwiner, arbitrary valent SU2 intertwiner with n indices. So for each index, we contract with the CG coefficients. And there are n CG coefficients. So in the end, we get 2n indices, which is the index structure for a spin 4 tensor. But it is not necessarily to be an invariant tensor. So in the end, we should also make a projection of the spin 4 tensor to the space of spin 4 intertwiners. So in the end, we get spin 4 intertwiner. So we have spin 4 spins and spin 4 intertwiners from EPRL map. Then we can construct a spin 4 spin network function from SU2 spin network function. So this is observable, evaluated in this Chern-Simon theory to define vertex amplitude. And so this arbitrary valent vertex amplitude, it's a functional on spin network functions or on the space of cylindrical functions in loop quantum gravity. And it is constructed by using Chern-Simon theory and EPRL map. This is the two ingredients for this construction. And for rigorous definition, it gives this vertex amplitude is given by the evaluation of some spin network graph by using Vasiliev conceptual invariant, and then evaluate order by order by using spin 4 representation and intertwiners determined by EPRL map. And this is somehow maybe relates to the early work by Gambini, Grigo, and Poulin. That time they used Vasiliev invariant to construct the solution of Hamiltonian constraint operator. So that is for Euclidean theory. In principle, we can also generalize to Lorentzian theory. So what we only need to do is that to replace the weight system, this evaluation map, by using the evaluation of SL2C Lie algebra, and also the SL2C intertwiner determined by PRL map. So in the end, at least for Euclidean theory, we get a finite amplitude on a two complex. So what we do is we already have vertex amplitude. We just make a product of the vertex amplitude with respect to all the vertices. And also, we have phase amplitude, and we make the product of all the phases, and we summing over all the spins and all the intertwiners. And because we have seen that because of the conformal field theory, duality between conformal field theory and Chern-Simons theory, and there is a natural cutoff of spin, because there are only finite number of conformal families. So in the end, this model, this amplitude is a finite amplitude. Then we come to the asymptotics of this spinform amplitude. So we consider Euclidean case and four simplex amplitude, first of all. And so the asymptotic regime we are looking for is that the physical area of the triangle is much, much larger than the Planck area, but much, much smaller than the cosmological scale. And the, mathematically, the way to make this asymptotic regime is that we keep the area fixed, but make the following scaling. Scale Planck area by lambda inverse, and cosmological scale by using lambda, and then put lambda goes infinity. Then it's like to put scale these two scales, the Planck scale, the cosmological scale, away from the area of the four simplex. And then such a scaling implies that because we want to have area fixed, because area is spins times Planck area, then this scale just tells us that we need to scale all the spins by using lambda to keep area fixed. And also because the deformation parameter is LP squared over LC squared, then omega is scaled like lambda minus 2. OK, then we consider the four simplex graph, the evaluation of four simplex graph by using Vasiliev concept invariant. So, but four simplex graph, is all the nodes are four valent. So what we need to do is that to replace the four valent nodes by three valent. So this is the resulting four simplex graph, and with only three valent vertices. And there is a single crossing, but is it clear enough? Well, but maybe not so important. There's a braiding here. There's a single, there's only one crossing in this four simplex graph. And so we evaluate this four simplex graph by using Vasiliev conservation invariant. And we get a power series of core diagrams attached to this four simplex graph. And we evaluate the core diagram order by order by using this evaluation. Spin for the algebra, and also EPRL intertwiners, then we get the four simplex amplitude for the Q-deformed spinform model. And because we are going to do the asymptotics, so we to evaluate this this invariant, so we use SU2 coherent intertwiner. This is SU2 coherent intertwiner, so it's given by a product. Tensor product of four SU2 coherent states, and followed by a group averaging over SU2. And it has a natural interpretation as a tetrahedron, because the SU2 coherent states have two labels, spins, and there's a unit three vector. And the spins are naturally interpreted as the area of the triangle, and this unit vector are unit normals of triangles. Therefore, this J times NEF is just the oriented area of this triangle with respect to this tetrahedron. And because there are four coherent states, is corresponding to four triangles on the boundary of this tetrahedron. And also, we need EPRL map to get a spin 4 coherent twiner, then plug in this evaluation map. So we get a coherent representation of QD form vertex amplitude. And then to get the correction, which is the cosmological constant term, we need to study the correction of all the three building blocks under this scaling. And because all these building blocks are just given by identity plus all the high order correction in terms of Chern-Simons coupling constant. And it turns out that the braiding, the correction from the braiding is of order one under this scaling. And the correction of both N naught and the associator are of order 1 over lambda, are always of order 1 over lambda. And therefore, under the limit lambda goes to infinity. Yeah, next slide, I explain details. And then take the limit lambda goes to infinity, and all the corrections from N naught and the associator just suppress. And there is only non-trivial correction from braiding. And this braiding just gives precisely this cosmological constant term, because this is the quadratic form of the Lie algebra generator.
Can you remember what omega is? Because now the cosmological constant is kept to zero.
Yes.
So where is omega?
Omega is just LP squared over LC squared.
But this goes to zero.
So I mean, after scale, scale, and so.
It's not a p squared over s squared. N p goes to 0 and then c goes to infinity.
Yes, but I mean.
What is omega?
So here we make the scaling lambda. So we have this LP squared. This is big, this is to be constant and put scaling lambda. So I mean, in the end, the omega is this constant LP and constant L over constant. And the volume are given by this constant J. So I mean, in the end, this cosmological constant just doesn't scale.
Yeah, it's not the right.
It's I mean, it's the way, because here we take this regime. We are not doing constant cosmological constant. So we don't fix the cosmological constant to be constant. So here we scale both cosmological constant and Planck scale, and it corresponds to some semi-classical limit, but coherent with more cosmological constant limit. So that's the thing, price to pay to get to suppress all the corrections, all the complicated corrections from N naught associated. Okay, so then all these corrections just contributing the subleading order in the asymptotic. And there's only corrections, non-trivial corrections, contribution from R matrix to give this cosmological constant. And here is some details for suppressing of the corrections. So here we can somehow write the QD form for simplex amplitude in this way, and a bit more somehow explicitly, but there's some implicit things in this factor. So this is the usual integrand for usual Euclidean EPRL spin form model, and by using coherent states. And we should integrate over the group element. And this K here contains all the information of the power series of four diagrams. And to have this K, we have the following Feynman rule. So suppose there is a Wilson line here attached to n quartz. And then this guy associated with this factor. And just the expectation value by using this coherent state of n Lie algebra generators, because this univalent vertex of quartz associated with Lie algebra generators. So there are n quarks, so there are n V algebra generated. Now we can study the asymptotic and the lambda goes. We scale all the spins and study the asymptotic of this factor, and we find it gives, and the lambda goes to infinity, it gives n factor of lambda times spins. So it gives the behavior like lambda to the power n. So for this factor, this scales like lambda to the power n. And there's also contribution from coupling constant because there's a scaling of omega. And so suppose there's a core diagram with n univalent vertex and m trivalent vertices. And then the coupling constant is h to the power m plus n minus 2, because m plus n here is always even number. And because h is proportional to omega, omega is scaled like lambda minus 2. So these coupling constants contributing lambda to the power minus m plus n. And this is the contribution from coupling constant. And so we put everything together, lambda n times lambda minus m plus n, we get lambda minus m. So which means that for a diagram, no matter how many univalent vertices there are. And suppose there are m trivalent vertices, and the contribution of this diagram is of order lambda minus m. So which means that the leading contribution is of order m equals 0. Then the corrections, to have this leading order contribution, the diagram should not have any trivalent vertices, trivalent vertex. So the diagrams without any trivalent vertex are only come from R matrix. So that's why there's only R matrix contribution under this scaling, and all the other building blocks just suppressed under this scaling. So in the end, we get this asymptotic formula that this is exponential of Ricci action with this cosmological constant term. But this is this volume, because we are in the approximation that's more cosmological constant because of this asymptotic regime. It's a trick to simplify the problem. And so, but the price to pay is that we get the Ricci calculus with flat forcing plate, because this volume is the volume of flat forcing plate. And it is Ricci calculus using flat forcing plate. Okay, so we can also do the same thing on simplicial complex. So this is on the simplicial complex, we study the full amplitude with all the vertex amplitudes. And we can study asymptotics on a simplicial complex by using the action from spin form vertex amplitude. And we can study, and the asymptotics is just determined by the critical points of the spin form action. And we can classify all the critical configurations into five different types. So there are two types of non-degenerate critical points. So with either positive full volume sign or negative full volume sign. And also there are three types of degenerate critical points. So they are given by, they give the asymptotics just like BF theory. And also there's a, because BF theory also can imply non-degenerate geometries. And there are non-degenerate BF type geometries. And there are also degenerate geometries, which are vector geometry. And we know that the asymptotics of spin form amplitude is determined by a sum of critical points and also the exponential action evaluated at critical points. And or we can classify these asymptotics by using the geometrical interpretation. So we have non-degenerate critical points with either positive volume and negative volume. So we got effective action, which is Ricci action, but times of sine of full volume. So which means that this effective action is not a Ricci action, but a discretization of Platini action. Because Ricci action is a discretization of Einstein-Hilbert action and Platini action is different from Einstein-Hilbert action by this sign of full body. And also, for the non-degenerate critical points, there is a contribution of exponential of this cosmological constant term. But for the degenerate case, there's no this cosmological correction because the full volume just vanish under degenerate configurations. So, okay, let's summarize. So what we have done is the following. So we formulate spin form vertex amplitude in terms of Trans-Simon theory and Vasiliev conservative invariant. And the construction is essentially using the solution of Nishnik Dombrovskis equation with some regularization, renormalization, and also combined with EPRL map. And also the resulting spin form model is finite and relate discrete general relativity with cosmological constant in the regime that small cosmological constant and also with Planck area goes to zero. And that's it. Thank
you. So what if you look at the the usual asymptotic that you look at is not this one. The usual asymptotic that we need to spherical type of geometry. Lambda j goes scale like lambda j and omega scale like
lambda omega. Yes. That's the fixed cosmological constant.
So, have you looked at this one?
No, that is, I look at it, but just because associator and unknown.
Well, there's some simplification there. So, what's the simplification that arises in the end of m times n? So, which graph contributes now?
Yeah, so in the end, this the simplification is just that all the graph with trivalent vertex just suppress.
No. In the mean time, just looking at
that. I mean, that is no any simplification because you need.
There is a simplification. Some graphs are suppressed. So which one is the simplification?
In that case, you need.
Yes. Which graph is suppressed? Well, go back to your counting. So instead of the h n plus n minus
then,
2, now you have h n plus n.
Then, I mean, you need some competing
so,
between univalent and trivalent.
Yeah,
so
that,
in
that
case
you're keeping all the graphs which are tree level when you take out the loops, right? All the graphs that are n equal n.
Yeah. And all if you have more trivalent graph, be suppressed. But still, you need to keep the tracing of all the trivalent graphs. But I mean, you don't really know. So here there's no closed formula for this associator, and you only have some.
The limit
I look at, but just you have one formula for this, but with exponential of everything, and but that is modulo double commutative and modulo some two commutative. That is, I look at it, but I didn't really find because I mean, this some graph, a very complicated graph. But there is of course there's some rules between the graph, and you keep something. But and also there's the coefficients. The coefficients it's also does not give explicit. There's only some generating function for the coefficients.
Yeah. But you just told me that you don't want more f than there is external leg. So simply at some point, it means that you don't want more commutators. Anyway, okay, that's a computation.
Yeah. Yeah, there should be some simplification, but I mean, for the diagram, and also that is also also strange because you know that the formula for the associator is on the exponential. It's not only a single h; it's a power series, and it has high order h contributions. It's a power series on the exponential. So which means that if you keep that and asymptotics, I mean, suppose one can compute this. Suppose we can get all the coefficients explicitly. And then on the exponential, you will have omega square contribution and all the high order contributions. So that is also weird to me. But, well, I mean, maybe there should be there. but I'm essentially I don't know how to understand this.
Okay, I have two questions. One, I might have totally missed that, so in that case I apologize, but you had earlier, you had another way to form the verb assembly using one
group.
How does this compare to this? Is it
okay.
Obviously the same?
No, I don't think it's obvious. Because, I mean, I know there's a proof, there's a theorem says that for links and not, and the Vasiliev and this perturbative Vasiliev invariant, you sum them all together, converge, and gives precisely, it's nothing but power expansion of some quantum group invariant. But for trivalent vertex, I never see any proof.
I see. But that sounds more like it's there's a mathematical question and it may be difficult to prove, but there's nothing that is obviously wrong or that.
No, it's not obvious wrong. Because
it's even more than that. This is why, you know, these weight systems are designed for. You have this invariant universal. So in some sense, kind of unique. So now you get any quantum group invariant by applying different weight systems. So they contain this invariant, you know, for the links, and they contain all possible quantum group invariant, or even there's been shown they contain more than usual quantum groups, because they contain all possible quantum supergroups invariants, and they contain even more than both quantum groups and quantum supergroups invariants. But so you just, so they you know, it's like the knowledge of them is like knowing all possible quantum groups and evaluation. And SU2 is hidden in the choice of the system.
And another question would be
like,
modification of the GPRL to get rid of these degenerate centers. And I was wondering, does this change anything for your, I mean, can I just take his proposal and stick it in and the same result, or is it?
I'm not so sure, because that you need, I mean, in his construction, there's a projector there. But and because here, to get these asymptotics, we need these two, I mean, we need this factor, because you see that this factor is just simply sandwiching the algebra generators by using this coherent space. But if you put some projector there, just maybe mess up. I'm not so sure. So, but to suppress and those degenerate things, one can do some other things that put in this path integral some local measure factor. Suppose I put in some power of four volume, product of the four volume, and some power of three volume, and then those degenerate things just disappear.